Welcome to Not So Different, a podcast from the Center for Biosimilars. I'm your host, Assistant Editor Skylar Jeremias. In March 2021, the National Comprehensive Cancer Networks, or NCCN, Oncology Research Program, in partnership with Pfizer, announced 10 research projects that will receive funding to develop innovative ways to improve biosimilar adoption in the oncology space. For this Not So Different series, the Center for Biosimilars is spotlighting three projects to improve perception of biosimilars, promote biosimilars as a therapy choice, and encourage payers to prefer biosimilar use. In this third part, we spoke with Dr. Hong Phuc Nguyen, Director of the Pharmacy Clinical Network at City of Hope in Duarte, California. Dr. Nguyen discussed how his project titled Challenges to Biosimilar Adoption in Community Oncology Due to Diverse Payer Preferences in Different Biosimilars will address how payer formulary decisions can improve or stall biosimilar uptake and acceptance. So to start us off, can you briefly explain what your research project will be focusing on?
So our research project is aiming to or seek to understand the real impact of biosimilar adoption within the context of a community oncology setting or practice network similar to ours. In a community oncology, context, we live in a world with diverse payers, and those payers don't necessarily align with their preferences for a particular biosimilar product. And so as a result, I think it adds a layer of complexity to simply say that we are adopting a particular biosimilar agent onto our formulary in the traditional sense that you might be used to.
What are some of the challenges that payer preferences pose to biosimilar adoption in community oncology?
So there are many, but at the very, just to give you an example, in a very basic level, a huge challenge right off the bat is with inventory management within our practices. Before, we were just managing inventory for the reference drug, but now we're managing inventory for not only the reference drug, but the biosimilar and various versions of biosimilars for the same reference drug. While it may not seem very, or it may seem very trivial now, but as you can see down the line, when more and more biosimilars enter the market, how increasingly complex that would get, and very quickly at that. Another challenge that this brings is with respect to insurance authorizations, having to manage insurance authorizations for each different type of payers. Of course, adhering to their, preference for their own biosimilar products or preference, as you can see how difficult that could be. And then, of course, the downstream impact of that from a community oncology standpoint is the patient care coordination that is impacted by that. And I don't think we fully understand that. And then another challenge that brings is then there's a financial component, that needs to be looked at as well. Just to give you a real quick example is when you're managing multiple, when you're trying to adhere to multiple biosimilars, respective to the payer, there's a real possibility of not adhering to that formulary and then falling off of it and then being penalized for it because in the form of non-payment because the wrong item was used, for example, and that could be a very real impact, particularly for a community oncology network that is 10 plus practices, similar to ours. In a very basic way, and I hope I'm not oversimplifying it, but you know, just simply refrigerator space, right? I mean, that in that alone is an issue that creates a lot of downstream problems, especially in a community oncology setting where we're having to adhere to requirements with regards to specific requirements with regards to storage of medication in a limited space, for example, that could quickly become an issue. You know, like I mentioned before, where we're only having to deal, you know, let's take trastuzumab for an example, because I think I've lost count, right? And so if we have to manage inventory for all of that in a fixed, you know, space or storage capacity, that creates a huge problem. And if you multiply that by however more similar of products that could come into the market, it could quickly become a huge issue.
What implications do payer preferences have on the potential for achieving savings with biosimilars?
So I don't think we can fully say that there's a savings achieved, at least within the context of community oncology, if we really don't understand the costs associated with adopting those biosimilars. And what are some of the costs associated with additional inventory management, the costs associated with how are we going to manage the prior authorization piece, the costs associated with the potential for being penalized for not adhering to the formularies of these payers appropriately.
What sort of information do you think your research project will provide, and how will it help with access and savings?
So the information that we're trying, that we hope to come out of this is, or to generate from this, is to understand the real costs of that. And I think unless we understand the real costs of that, I don't think we can really say that there's a savings achieved, or at least a real savings achieved. In terms of access, I don't think that there will be an impact either way with respect to access. But I think with savings, I mean, if we have to really understand the cost first.
What will you do with this information?
For sure, definitely internally, I would hope that it will help to inform us as an organization in our next steps, really, whether we should be involved in pursuing legislative action in concert with other community oncology networks and practices to maybe help us manage this conundrum. Number two, I would think that it will help inform strategies or approach when it comes to payer contracting, at least from our organizational level. And I think, but most certainly, it will inform processes and practice changes internally to help us mitigate some of these real costs and real potential impacts associated with adopting biosimilar, again, within the context of community oncology.
And lastly, do you have any concluding thoughts?
Yes, so I think that this issue is going to grow, and it's not necessarily confined to oncology alone, because we do know that other specialties, there are novel biologic therapies for other specialties that have already entered the market or will be entering the market. And those biologic therapies are going to have biosimilars. And so I don't think that this will necessarily confine itself to the oncology realm. Therefore this conversation, I think, needs to have further discussion down the line as more and more biosimilar products enter the market.
Well, Dr. Nguyen, thank you for sharing your insights with us. And thank you to our listeners for tuning into this episode of Not So Different. As always, you can find additional information in the show notes. You can also check out our new interactive biosimilar approvals navigator on our website to keep up to date on the latest biosimilar approvals and launches in the United States and European Union. Until next time, you can visit us at centerforbiosimilars.com.